for the best Ravens coverage. What time is that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, met with the media yesterday, as he does every Monday, talking about his ball club, a game into the season, tough loss at KC last Thursday, but practice. No Lamar, others. So what's going on there, John Harbaugh?
Yeah, we had a number of guys that weren't out there, some personal, some physical. So injury report comes out Wednesday afternoon, so you'll be better advised on that day.
I think it's all about nothing. They're getting an extra day of rest. Like I said, today's an off day for the players. So tomorrow's the first day of preparation for the Raiders. So anybody that had any little nick or whatever probably sat out yesterday, and probably any veteran type guy maybe did the same.
Yeah, and it was picture day, as Nolan pointed out, and everyone was there front and center and smiling in front of the camera. So, Wednesday, then maybe we could judge a little bit coming up in about 24 hours. But Ravens getting ready for the Raiders, 9.5-point favorites in the home opener down at M&T Bank Stadium. By the way, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored. Brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus. We're going to be at the Horseshoe Casino, Brew Brothers, for the first time.
Yep, that'll be
AFC Championship game.
Yes. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, I can't wait to lose money in the slot machines. It's been a while. Been a while since Bam took my cash down at Horseshoe Casino. Well, Justice Hill, and we know what he brings to the equation, and we talked about him during the whip around. 2 touchdowns a year ago today against Houston in the season opener, and he got his share of run this past Thursday night against the Chiefs. So John Harbaugh, Justice Hill was?
I thought Justice was amazing. I give him all the credit in the world. That was one of those ones with the crowd noise. We wanted to go to a base 6-man protection and fan our tackles, but we didn't get to it with the crowd noise. Maybe that's a communication thing on offense that we would have liked to have had. And I think in that protection, Justice made the adjustment. He was expecting the tackle to fan, probably, but then the tackle didn't fan, and there he was with number 95 right in front of him, and I thought he did a pretty darn good job, given the circumstances.
I agree. I mean, he fought his ass off and did a hell of a job. He kept his body in position, and the tackle didn't block anybody. So, you would have liked to have had him fan. And what does fan mean, Bob? He would have turned out. And blocked the end man on the line of scrimmage, which was Chris Jones, and then they would have doubled him in that situation, and then Lamar probably would have had time to throw the ball.
And Vinny's film assessment of the offensive line play last Thursday against Kansas City coming up tomorrow as we do film breakdown for the first time here, 2024. Ronnie Stanley, and this is a guy that's going to get good grades from Vinny, and apparently ESPN Pro Football Focus doing the same, but early in the game, we're 4 plays in, and I'm already yelling at my television about the officiating. And here's John Harbaugh explaining the formation issues early in the ballgame.
We do have data on that. We have tracking data. They got the chips in the shoulder pads. So we know exactly where Ronnie was lined up relative to where their guys were lined up. I'm not worried about it going forward. I thought Ronnie was in reasonable position there most all the time. You got to make the drastic adjustment right away, and then we'll talk about it later, And Ronnie actually thought he was doing that. So when you watch the tape, I think what he said bears out.
It sounds to me like they turned some things into the league, the Ravens did, on that situation. Because I'm guessing Juwan Howard was probably doing his
Taylor.
Juwan Taylor, yeah. Man. Juwan Taylor was doing his thing. Because I guess they have chips in the shoulder pads that...
No, I had. Yeah. I'm today years old finding that out.
So, I guess they could tell where he was lined up, and they're going to send that information to the league. I think Harbs eventually says, that you can check that out on, he said it was open to the public to get that. So, one of those reporters did that.
Now, speaking of the offensive line, Jonas Schaefer, who joins us every Friday from the Baltimore Banner, tweeting out that according to ESPN, the Ravens' pass blocking was rated number 2 by ESPN. Number 8, we're talking win rates here, by Pro Football Focus. However,
what's a win rate?
I guess Chris Jones goes up against Linderbaum and Linderbaum stones him. I would assume. Didn't give up any pressure or sacks.
The ball's complete or the ball's thrown? Yeah, I don't know. You know, because there was a lot of times Lamar's putting that foot in the ground and he's taken off, and he saves a lot of those guys a lot of things.
Now, run blocking, Ravens 22nd by ESPN, 21st by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, they didn't run block because they don't knock people off the ball. And, you know, Lamar makes his runs because he's reading the end, man on the line of scrimmage, and he's either giving it to Henry or keeping it. And 90% of the time, he was keeping it and getting into space. So a lot of the runs, I mean, they didn't knock people off the ball. That was the problem with Henry. So they've got to get better in the run-blocking stuff.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest started up Tuesday. John Harbaugh was asked about communication and substitution issues this past week.
Communication on defense. Our issues on defense were we had a missed assignment, you know, that hurt us. That's something that was really not so much a communication issue, just a volume issue probably as much as anything. You know, we're looking at that really hard. First game of the season. In that kind of an environment. The other issues were more just the way we played the plays. So I don't think maybe communication was used in kind of a general term. I think the substitution issues were legit. Probably we had too many substitution groups up, to be honest. You know, I think we were trying to play a lot of different guys and get them in there situationally. We didn't do a great job. They were subbing guys in like at 18 seconds on the play clock and calling their play real quick. So that creates an issue where we put our group in there, and then you got to call the play before the 15-second clock goes off. I think that might have been it. Maybe that was what they were talking about. That was a communication issue, but really more it's kind of a substitution issue. We changed it. We fixed it in the third quarter when we kept our groups on the field.
And then the miscommunication, the one with Humphrey, that was fourth quarter, what, or late third or fourth.
That was when Worthy was wide open, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one that I showed you where they didn't have anybody covering deep. So yeah, there was some communication
mishaps. Maybe they fixed it after that.
Yeah. Well, the thing that they needed to fix early on, it took them a while, Bob, was the middle of the field with Rasheen Rice. He was wearing them out early. I mean, that first drive, it was like bam, bam, bam. You know, I mean, there was a couple on Roquan. There was, you know, Harrison had one. And Simpson's the one that did a hell of a job.
Yeah, he tied it up a little bit. Well, I guess the speed factor helps a little bit, but, you know, you look at the matchups, you know, Zach Orr, how are you assessing these things?
Yeah, I don't think you want to put a wide receiver on an inside linebacker. Time after time after time.
Sure. So the Ravens, you know, communication issues, and we just heard John Harbaugh say, all right, that play in particular stands out because he was wide open. But the substitution patterns, I guess, was could have been a problemo for them as well.
Yeah, they were trying to match up is what they were trying to do. And Kansas City wasn't putting their guys in till late, so the Ravens couldn't match up. To me, that's good coaching.
Yeah, the Worthy touchdown was the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so
it was after the Ravens had cut it to 20-17.
Yeah, right. And Bob, what did we see? Everybody's looking at each other like, well, who the hell is that? You know, so I guess that was a communication.
And then finally, news from the Nash. John Harbaugh was asked about the offensive identity. What is it right now there, Harbsy?
You're going to use your different weapons week to week. You know, I feel like an offensive identity is definitely something that you develop over the course of time. We've had a lot of iterations of offensive identities over the years, especially since Lamar's been here. But they do start with your quarterback. You know, if you look at the Chiefs, it definitely starts with Patrick. They're probably more established with that right now with their guys that they have, but you know, Pacheco gets the ball. Where was Kelce? Didn't get the ball as many times in this game, you know? So it's just going to be game to game like that in any good offense.
And I would tend to agree with that because you have a game plan each week. The thing, and we talked about this yesterday with Childs Walker, and I think Childs is the one that harbs that, was, you know, because the identity in that game, because you had I formation, Lamar under center with Henry in the back. Then you had shotgun stuff, Henry in the shotgun at times, but a lot of times with Justice Hill, then it was more spread and things. So, you know, I think they're trying, and kind of Harb said it, they're trying to find their identity. And what you're trying to find out is, okay, what do we do well offensively? Who can we count on? What can we do? Can we line up in the eye and run the football. Maybe against certain teams we can and certain teams we can't. And that goes back to, you know, a weekly thing, because what's up this week? Oh, the I formation, Lamar under center, that's going to be good this week. Next week, it's not going to be good type thing. And to me, like Harv says, that's what good offenses do, is you got to attack defenses' weaknesses. Don't run in, don't go do something and be stubborn and say, we're running the I, you know, because people said, oh, we thought we'd give it, they'd give it to Henry 25 times. I mean, Kansas City probably thought the same type thing, you know. So it always doesn't work out how you want it to work out. When your dudes aren't knocking people off the ball, you know, what do we got to do to make yards? Because what happened when they were giving it to Henry, Bob, is you gain 1 yard on first down. Then you give it to him again, you gain two, and you're in third and seven. Then Henry's off the field, and then Justice Hill is in. And that happened a lot.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some money, hopefully buy or sell. Sports subjects on this Tuesday. Christopher Smith from MassLive.com. Talk about the Red Sox, who hammered the Orioles with relative ease last night, 12-3, as they're making a desperate push for the wild card. The Orioles right now are playing like a team that stinks. Do they stink, or has it been a rough 2.5 months since they were 24 games over 500? We'll look at our picks from yesterday and get an updated standings report there. NFL Lunch, Jason Cole is going to be joining us, American League East Report, and beyond, as we talk about the wild card and Vinny's Feeble Five. Who are the five worst teams in the NFL through 1 week? There are two teams, I guess, Vinny, that stand out in the sucking department. You'll find out who they are later in the show.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Plenty to get into sports-wise. College football, NFL, well underway. We're in September, Major League Baseball. Got big fights coming up this weekend. All sorts of crazy. Hey, believe it or not, in a little more than a month, we're going to have NBA and NHL to talk about. And we're about 2 months away from college basketball. Nolan, that Christmas tree is going to be up before you know it. But right now, let's talk about that dough by yourself.
Well, yesterday was a great day. Yesterday we were making a lot of money. Today, we're in the red. Oh. The Dow's down 368. The S&P's down 21. NASDAQ is down 50. DraftKings down 13 cents. Damn, Under Armour's down 67 cents to $6.50. $6.50. $6.50,
yep. Old Under Armour used to be in the $50 a share range. Who are these people?
Well, speaking of tumbling down, Notre Dame, they suffered an embarrassing loss at home to Northern Illinois this past weekend, and they were sent tumbling down the latest AP rankings as a result. The remainder of their schedule does not include many opportunities to make up ground or get some wins against top 25 competition. Their season finale against USC would probably project to be their biggest test remaining, or their biggest chance to get one of those resume wins. But also keep in mind here that they won't be competing for a conference championship, so that will be working against them as well. But Vinny, buy or sell, even if Notre Dame wins out, they will not have enough for the committee to include them in the playoff field.
I'm going to sell it, because I think with one loss they could, if they beat SC. But what they need is, they need SC to keep winning. But Northern Illinois needs Notre Dame to keep winning. And Northern Illinois, because if they win out, then they could get that one of those spots too.
Move over to baseball here. The Yankees will try anything at this point to get their pitching staff in shape for the playoffs. One of their recent ideas was to move starter Nestor Cortez to the bullpen. Despite leading the team in innings pitched this season and posting a sub 2.5 ERA in the month of August, he found himself piggybacking Clark Schmidt in his short outing over the weekend. He wasn't happy about it either, speaking his displeasure with the media after the game. Meanwhile, Aaron Boone tried to play peacemaker or cover up and say, hey, he pitched really well in the new role. Buy or sell, Bob, moving Cortez to the bullpen will end up being a net positive for New York.
I'm selling that, because now you have a disgruntled, pissed off pitcher.
Yep.
And I think he's going to keep balking about that, and he'll probably be whispering loudly to anyone who will listen how he's not cool with it. Yeah, it's all about team, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think that's going to end up well for them. He's got cool shoes, though. I guess that's all that matters.
Has to count for something.
Yeah, big old mustache on the side there.
Well, Joe Burrow, he did not play well in the Bengals season opener. The result was maybe the biggest upset of the entire weekend as the Pats walked into Cincy, pulled out that 16-10 win. However, for his career, Joe Burrow is now 1-8 in weeks 1 and 2 of the season. Coincidentally enough, it could be staring down a 1-9 record as the Bengals prepare to face the Chiefs this Sunday. I don't know if this brings Bengals fans any comfort, but they have shown an ability to finish strong despite the very slow starts with Joe Burrow as the quarterback. Buy or sell, Vinny, a slow start for Cincy this year, not the end of the world.
Well, it hadn't been. I mean, they've shown that they can recover. But, I mean, they had a lot of issues. I mean, Chase, what's going on there? Higgins was out, so they really didn't have a lot of receivers. They gave up a ton of rushing yards. So, at least Burrow is healthy. This is the first time he's been healthy. But they don't have a lot of the other pieces. So, I would expect them to be 0-2.
Yeah, and Chase didn't seem real happy with his target share on Sunday either.
Probably not.
I mean, he couldn't even decide if he wanted to play or not. I mean, they got a bunch of issues going on.
Especially when you're not at practice. I mean, how are you getting target share when you don't even know if you're going to play?
Well, let's see. We'll move back to baseball here. The Orioles are going to get a look at the Giants next week. That'll be their final interleague matchup of the season. But if you look at the Giants, their season overall, kind of disappointing. They've been hovering around 500 most of the year. It's Bob Melvin, his first year as the manager there, and he was recently asked to evaluate how his first year there has gone, and he didn't really hold any punches, saying that it's been one of the most difficult or the most difficult year of his very long career thus far, given the high baseball expectations in town. Now, you remember his tenure in San Diego, that was cut short after just 2 years, not getting them over the hump. They did make the playoffs in his first year in 2022, and then last year they missed the playoffs, finishing just above 500. Buy or sell, Bob, Melvin will get more patience from the Giants than he did the Padres.
Yeah, I'll buy it, because last year the Padres' expectation was to win the World Series.
Yep.
And they totally tanked. I would think, I mean, did you look at the Giants as a team that was going to compete in the National League West? I didn't. Okay, they'd be better than they were last year, but, you know, Padres, Dodgers, obviously, Diamondbacks were the defending National League champs. I wasn't looking at them as World Series threats. I think last year's debacle in San Diego was worse than this year. So, yes, he'll get some more leeway. By the way, Bob Melvin, a member of the 89 Why Not Orioles. So, always have a soft spot here in the old Bobster's heart.
And we'll close with this. Joe Mixon, he made an instant impact with his new team on Sunday, rushed for 159 yards and a touchdown in the Texans' win. Remember when Cincinnati moved on from him, maybe there was some thought that the age was catching up with him. After all, he did have a heavy workload over the years in a Bengals uniform. Coming into this season, his career yards per carry average, that's the entire career, was sitting at 4.1. He recorded a mark of 5.3 just in week one alone. Buy or sell, Vinny, Mixon will finish the season with more than 4.1 yards per carry.
I'll buy it. It's going to be like Mark Ingram. He's going to have a bounce back year this year, be really good this year, and then it could drop off after that. But I think he's going to have a really, really good year this year.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk Boston Red Sox baseball. They hammered the Orioles last night, trying to make it two in a row. Christopher Smith from MassLive.com. Still disappointing based on Red Sox expectations, but did they really have expectations coming into this year? What's that offseason going to be like? Boston 3 out of the wild card. We'll get to the picks. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. He's going to have some NFL lunch with us coming up at 1 o'clock. Not necessarily the Orioles, but the team that hammered them last night, that's only 3 out of the wild card themselves, Boston Red Sox. From MassLive.com, let's welcome into the show, for the first time, if I'm not mistaken, Christopher Smith. Christopher, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan in Baltimore.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good. Doing all right. And when did Rob Refsnyder turn into Jim Rice? Anyway, but the Red Sox, we're sitting here on September the 10th. Tyler O'Neill, too. It was September 10th. They're only, air quotes, three out of the wild card as Minnesota's scuffling. We know the Orioles, they're five games below 500 since June 20th. You know, Kansas City got, you know, a competitive game, got blown out a little bit late by the Yankees. But Red Sox are only three out. So would you have been, how surprised are you, I guess, Christopher, are you that we're a little more than 3 weeks left in the season and they're still realistically in some sort of wild card consideration?
I think even the manager, Alex Cora, is a little surprised. I mean, he said it after, he's like, you know, somehow we're still in it. That's what he said. And so, you know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, their last homestand, they lost 2 of 5 games, or they went 2 and 5, and then they went on this road trip to Detroit and the New York Mets, and they were 1 and 5 on that road trip. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm right near obituary. You know, they're 5 games out with, 22 left, and, you know, it just doesn't seem possible. And all of a sudden, you know, it's only 3 games now, 18 games left. And so I don't know really what to think of this team. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. You know, such shorter time, only 18 games, making up 3. And they also are tied in the wild card standings with the Mariners and the Tigers, who are both playing better than them right now. And so, but, you know, this has been a pretty, like, this young group of Red Sox players has been pretty resilient this year. There's been several times that I thought, like, yeah, they're out of it, and they've come back. And so, yeah, it's difficult to say that they're going to they're going to make it, because they are 8 games under 500 in the second half. So what could make you think that they pick up 3 games here and with 18 games remaining and also fend off 2 other teams? But we'll see.
Now, you talk about the younger players that they have. We know Devers is a stud. He's a star by every level. You get Trevor Story back, who we saw last night. But, you know, here in Baltimore, Colton Cowser is a candidate for Rookie of the Year. But what about Sadon Rafaela? Kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit when it comes to that level of talk. But tell our listeners about the upside that this kid has.
Yeah, well, I think the Red Sox have 2, you know, guys that are in the AL Rookie of the Year conversation. And Willie Abreu is actually, I think, above Sadon Rafaela. Now, Rafaela is having he's having an interesting year. They looked at him coming into the season as like, okay, he's very impatient at the plate. He swings at everything. You could see him swing at 3 pitches right outside outside the zone, you know, 3 consecutive swings, and be like, why did he swing at those 3? But he also has like the flair for the dramatic thing. He has 2 10th inning home runs this year, 1 at Yankee Stadium. Some big, you know, big moments, and he's a plus defender in center field, and he's gone back and between shortstop and second, between shortstop and center field this year, just because, you know, of Story's injury, and, you know, Story obviously missed 133 games. So he's like, they really view him as a guy that's going to be a very big impact hitter down the road. He does need a little bit more patience. Abreu, on the other hand, has that. Like, his plate discipline is really good. He's a little older than Rafaela. And, you know, he's shown an ability to hit for a high on-base percentage and slug. So they do have some interesting young players, those 2 specifically.
Now, Christopher, the Red Sox, you cover them, so you know them better than anybody. They're historically, we're competing. We're all in it to win it. They'll spend the dough. They'll do everything necessary to compete with the Yankees and everyone else that tries to challenge for American League East supremacy. It hasn't really been that way the last couple of off seasons. Do we expect to see maybe Boston open up that checkbook a little bit more than we have seen? And this is, you know what I mean? They let Mookie Betts walk, for crying out loud. Are they willing to spend some more dough here as they watch the Yankees continue to be New York? The Orioles are certainly a young team with great potential. Tampa's always contending, maybe not this year. Who knows what's up with Toronto? But are the Red Sox going to start spending a little dough to get back to where they normally are near the top of the standings?
Yeah, so I think the philosophy this past offseason was like they didn't think that they would be this close into it this year. I mean, they didn't think that, you know, they had this type of team, and they're kind of what they said throughout the offseason, the spend will happen when, you know, the results happen. And so you know, if you look at this young core, they've got six guys in the top 100 in Baseball America's top 100, and four of them are AAA, and, you know, very close to the majors. And so, you know, you look at it, and this should be this offseason. The time is now to spend. Specifically, they need to spend on pitching. That's if they don't make the playoffs this year, that's what is the cause. If, you know, they just didn't have enough to hold up starting pitching-wise, you know, down the stretch. You know, Tanner Houck has been really good. Tyler Crawford, who's pitching tonight, has been good. They just too many young pitchers that don't have that experience. So they need to go out and get a starting pitcher, maybe Burns, you know, in the offseason. And so, but it remains to be seen because this ownership group hasn't done it in the past few years. And, you know, they have some other interests. Like, you know, they own the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they're actually one of three finalists, reportedly. I'm not sure how accurate this is, but for the Celtics, who are for sale. And so, you know, they own Liverpool. And so they've had some other things. It seems like they've been less interested in the Red Sox. They've won four, you know, World Series in this century. And it seems like they are more focused on different things. They've got a racing, you know, thing and everything. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows right now, including some people in the front office. They probably have no idea what ownership is going to have for a budget next year.
Maybe they could throw a touchdown to old Bob Haney here in Baltimore, yeah. Do a little sports talk. Anyway, Christopher Smith, MassLive.com. Last thing for you. You saw the Orioles at Fenway early in the season when they were kind of, you know, that's when Jackson Holliday made his debut, but Gunnar and Kowser were bashing away. How different are the Orioles in September than they were in the first half of the season as you saw them?
Yeah, I mean, right now they're, you know, as you guys know, they're a 500 team and they've been that for a couple of months. And, you know, I picked them to win the AL East this year. You know, I still think they have it in them. You know, it's going to be tight down the stretch. I see, you know, they should beat Boston these next two games, you know, with their pitchers on the mound. And you know, you look at it and Boston's played terrible at Fenway Park this year. You know, they're like, nine games under 500 at Fenway Park. And so this is a series Baltimore needs to capitalize, you know, like they've had trouble offensively the last, you know, week or so. And they have been a 500 team the past couple of months. And so they need to, like, you know, figure some things out and, you know, win these couple games because, you know, even Toronto, who's the worst team in the division, came in and won, you know, went 3-2 against the Red Sox of five games that they played last week in a home series. And so, you know, they need to figure this out. And like, but I think they're still, you know, obviously a really good team. They have a ton of talent. You know, this Kowser, who's as you said, is in the rookie of the voting. He was picked one pick ahead of, or one pick behind, you know, one of the top prospects in the Red Sox organization right now. I said they have, you know, six of the top in the 100. And so, yeah, they have such a good young core, and they're going to be there for years. But they, you know, they need to capitalize on these games right here.
Christopher Smith, MassLive.com. Christopher, appreciate the time. Good luck to the Red Sox, except for the next couple of nights, obviously. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, thanks for having me.
There's Christopher Smith, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we're going to look at our picks for week one of the NFL, which wrapped up last week. We'll look at the schedule, some of the college games that we're going to have on the slate. So stay tuned for that. And then Jason Cole's going to have some NFL lunch with us coming up at 1 o'clock. During the break, Justin Fields gets the 2-0. He's there at Denver this week. 3-point favorites, by the way, over the Broncos. Mile high. How do you put Russell Wilson back in the lineup?
I don't know you can. You ride the hot hand, I would imagine.
Cincinnati, as we talked earlier, that they're at Kansas City. Chiefs laying 6 there, 425. Same with the Steelers, by the way. And then Cleveland to Jacksonville. Jags laying 3.5 in this one. We talked about Deshaun Watson, another lawsuit coming his way, and we'll see how this affects his performance on the field and what Cleveland might think about long-term in regards to keeping him as the QB. But hey, Jacksonville had a chance to win a game in Miami, and they kind of let that one slip through their fingers. Travis Etienne comes to mind.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I mean, they did enough to win, but what they did was – like you said, with the Etienne one, that got Miami back in the game because the next play they hit the 80-yard touchdown to Hill, and the crowd's in it. They're excited. Just like the Bears game was the exact same thing. You know, they were done. They were buried, too.
Yep. They couldn't get any offense generated against Tennessee. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in. So, Nolan, we'll do our full-on picks thing starting on Thursday for Thursday Night Football, then really get into it on Friday. But now that week one of the NFL season is over, we talked about our college selections for this past week yesterday. Give us an updated standings report in the picks for booze, Vinny, wine, beer for me and all.
Well, following last night, Bob and myself had the Niners. Vinny took the Jets, so now the standings even closer.
Yep.
Vinny still has his lead. He's 16-9. Bob and myself, 15-10.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I'm only up one.
I thought I was mathematically eliminated by week three last year, throwing a bunch of Hail Marys. So we're still alive. Well, how about this schedule? See if things change a little bit. Thursday night, you can hear it on the Fan. Buffalo at Miami, Dolphins laying 1.5. As Vinny said earlier, Josh Allen was practicing yesterday. Dallas is hosting the Saints coming up at 1 o'clock. 6.5-point favorites are the Cowboys. Both teams, impressive wins in their opener. Same here with Tampa at the Lions. Kind of a hefty number here, Detroit -7. Didn't they see Baker Mayfield throw 4 touchdown passes last week?
Yeah.
Whatever, we're not smart at that. I think that's a 7. Remember, I'm blind in one eye. We got a dirty-ass computer screen. It's kind of, you know, fluttery. Probably need a new one, but that's just me. Anyway, Colts are at the Packers, both coming off tough losses.
Yep.
Indianapolis at home,
and
Green Bay
Packers
in another country.
Without quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be Patrick or the Willis.
Malik Willis,
not the Hall of Fame linebacker. Colts -3.5 there. Jets at the Titans. New York laying 4. On the road against Will Levis in Tennessee. It's an interesting spread. 49ers at Minnesota. San Francisco -8.
Yeah. Travel day after, you know, they got a short week and they got to travel.
But odds makers still like their chances there. They didn't see Sam Darnold dealing like he was.
Yeah.
Seattle's at New England. Patriots pull possibly the upset of the week, winning at Cincinnati. Seattle laying 3.5. They beat the Broncos. Giants and Commanders down at FedEx. Washington -2.5.
Now, if Washington doesn't win that one, home opener and stuff, they could end up on a feeble 5 the following week.
And maybe back to 40,000 people at the game, too. Chargers are at the Panthers. Chargers -6.5. Browns, as we talked about, they're at Jacksonville. Jags -3.5. Raiders in Baltimore. Ravens -9.5. Rams at the Cardinals. Arizona -1. Arizona, hey, they acquitted themselves nicely at Buffalo last week.
I could see Arizona winning. I mean, Bob, the Rams are beat up. You know, I mean, all Puka's out, their tackles are out, they got a guard out. I mean, they're pretty beat up right now.
Pitt at Denver, as we said, Steelers -3. Cincy's at Kansas City. Chiefs -6. Sunday Night Football. I think I'm starting to agree with you. Bears at Texans, Houston -6.5.
Oh,
could get ugly.
Yeah, I think so.
And then next Monday Night Football, Battle of the Birds, Philadelphia, very impressive in their opener. Atlanta, the exact opposite. They laid an egg at home against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and Cousins threw 2 picks. He needs a bounce back game, otherwise people are going to start wanting pennies.
College football, some matchups of interest here. Friday night, top 20, Arizona at number 14, Kansas State. Alabama -4 at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's undefeated, but Alabama's a double-digit favorite in this game.
Yeah, Wisconsin. This types of games, they're not good enough yet. They're not good enough.
Your boy Brian Kelly and LSU's at South Carolina. LSU's only 7-point favorite. Gamecocks undefeated early. Boston College -24 at #5 Missouri.
Yeah, well, why is BC playing SEC? That's kind of strange, but I mean, BC's playing pretty good. Missouri's
Bill
good,
O'Brien,
though.
Right? And Bill O'Brien at BC now?
Missouri's good.
Battle of Oregon. Oregon at Oregon State. Ducks, hefty line here, 18.5.
But Oregon hadn't been playing great, Bob.
Nah, they survived Boise State in a very entertaining game this past Saturday. Notre Dame, as Duke Vitale used to say, because his kids went to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's at Purdue, laying 10.5.
Yeah, Purdue stinks. But, you know, I mean, Notre Dame will probably come out and kill them now because they woke up. I mean, they laid an egg, and Freeman let him lay an egg because he came out and says, You know, I think our guys were they were listening to all the press clippings after A&M.
Well, isn't that his job to prevent that from happening? And then Sarkisian said, don't pull a Notre Dame.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is they're taking on Texas San Antonio. So that's your college slate. Maryland's at Virginia, which we'll talk about throughout the rest of the week. But coming back, NFL lunch, Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, talk week one with him. American League East report, Yankees are a game and a half up over the Orioles. We'll tell you why. And then Vinny's feeble five. We're the five worst teams in the NFL through that first week. You want to join us, you can. 410-583-1057. We're on the Fan.